Joining me now for a look at the equity space is Anthea Gardner from Cartesian Capital. Thank you so much for your time, Anthea. We are seeing market sentiment being lifted by hopes of the Chinese government. People hoping that the Chinese government will soon lift restrictions on COVID-19 that has basically plagued the country. So this is after Shanghai reached the milestone of no new COVID cases in three straight days. I don't know. I feel like that positive sentiment could be short-lived as the markets realize that it may be too little too late. What do you think?
Good afternoon, Zanati. So I think, first of all, the market close is not really a true reflection of what happened in the market today. Most of the day, the market spent a lot higher than where it closed. Mm. And I would say predominantly that was due to Naspers, which when I looked up just after lunch was up 7.5%. And I think that's on the back of Tencent being up 5.2% this morning and also ahead of Tencent's results on Thursday. Oh. And then on top of that, yesterday, JP Morgan released a research note saying that they were going long Chinese tech stocks. And then, of course, as you mentioned, combined that with the improvement in the China COVID situation, not only has Shanghai reported 3 days of zero cases, but also I think the market is looking towards China lifting its lockdown ahead of this very important party congress. You know, politics in China is almost as important or dominating as it is in South Africa. Yeah. So we've got quite a bit going on there. I do feel today was quite strong. Even kind of the companies that reported had really good results out. Mm. The Rand below 16 to the dollar. I think everybody sighed a sigh of relief because if you think about where the Rand has been and we've got the South African Reserve Bank interest rate decision coming out on Thursday, what concerns everyone, right, is that the US raised interest rates by 50 basis points. We kind of don't have a choice if we want to kind of keep our purchasing power parity in play and keep the Rand in check.
Yeah.
What we know, though, is that if we raise interest rates in a weak economy, it's going to hurt the consumer even more.
Yes.
But at the same time, we almost – and our inflation is kind of okay. So if we raise interest rates kind of just because the U.S. has to do it, is it really following its mandate of inflation targeting or price stability? Certainly, I should say price stability. But what I'm trying to point towards or direct us towards is that a lot of the inflation that we've seen is exogenous. So it's outside inflation that we're importing. And with a weak rand, of course, that's going to hurt.
Yeah.
So the stronger rand, just I felt like there was a sigh of relief in the markets today.
Yeah. Quite interesting points that you've made there, Anthea. And I like that you even went into the MPC meeting that is taking place this week. Just on the Chinese side, you mentioned that Tencent was up 5%, then filtering through to Naspers. Quite interesting that JP Morgan is now deciding to go long on Chinese tech stocks. And of course, we do know that the government is meeting with tech executives today and maybe sort of signaling that there is a willingness to kind of ease on the tech crackdown. So is this a signal that the worst is over on that front?
Do you mean the worst is over from the Chinese government being so strict?
Yes, yes.
That is such a difficult question. Mm. You just never know, do you?
Yeah.
I would like to think so because we've seen very little of this draconian regulation from the Chinese government since last year when we were all so surprised and shocked. So I'd like to think that you're right and that the worst is over and that the government is now prepared to play ball, if you like.
Yeah. All right. Let's go into Pick and Pay, the results we had today. So before we go into their strategic plan, what did you think about the numbers? I mean, they managed to gain a lot of good momentum, I would think, on sales growth after they experienced, you know, the challenges from COVID-19, liquor restrictions and also the civil unrest. What's your thoughts on that performance?
So I listened to the CEO speak earlier on, and he's only been in the seat for 1 year.
Yeah.
He seems to really have understood South Africa's retail market and Pick and Pay's role in it, or Pick and Pay's place in it. And so I think this is a great set of results. Headline earnings per share up almost 13% in a very difficult environment. The one thing that was quite surprising was this inflation, the internal inflation number. So I guess there are two sides of looking at this. One is Pick n Pay absorbing the inflation because their inflation rate is lower than the kind of external inflation in order to gain market share and to keep their clients, which I suspect might be the case. And then the other thing is that the CEO was saying, well, we're just buying smarter. I think that's what he said, smarter, better, or something like that. And maybe we should believe him. I just don't know how you buy smarter and better no matter what. When the inflation rate's the inflation rate, like there's no denying it. So he's certainly taken a very strong stance in gaining market share, I think. And as you say, with this new strategy of his.
And really seeming like they really, really, trying to catch up a lot. Also looking at their strategic plan, lots of ambitious targets for the next 3 years, including breaking up their brands to kind of cater to different consumers in different income brackets, also expanding their online offering. How confident are you in that strategic plan, considering the competition that's out there? And I would, say largely from ShopRite.
I don't know if it's a false sense of comfort, but I do take quite a bit of comfort from the ideas and from the way they're talking about this multi-pronged strategy. They started it a while ago already, where they've got two different types of stores, kind of one for the middle, one for the lower LSM, or one for the middle, one for the higher LSM, I should say. Actually, that's how it is. That's more attacking the Woolworths brand and not competing with ShopRite. But now they seem, and I can't remember which is which, but there are three different brands, right? So three different consumer groups that they are targeting. And it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I think they are acutely aware that the South African consumer is under quite a bit of pressure and that people will be willing to shop down. So you will shop from Woolworths down to the fancy Pick n Pay and from there down to the lower LSM targeting Pick n Pay. So certainly, streamlining is another thing that they're looking at, so cutting the number of items that they have in store, simplifying that the SKUs, as the SKUs as they call them, and just reducing costs by holding less stock. So that's one of the ways they're doing it, right? And then the other thing is this joint venture or partnership, they called it, with Takealot and Mr. D, which expands their delivery services around the country. Now, I'm not sure how many people have taken up the Pick n Pay delivery services. So, and I haven't seen numbers on it, but anecdotally, I would say that Pick n Pay and Checkers have by far, in my group of friends, dominating this home delivery, grocery home delivery service.
All right, very, very interesting. So, really laying out some of the things that you've liked and also some of your concerns. Something that you're not concerned about today, your stock pick, Anthea?
My stock pick, and it may seem a little bit like 24 hours maybe behind the curve, but Raubex reported yesterday, and I really like what they had to say. Well, first of all, headline earnings per share up 263%, and that's just crazy. Granted, from a low base, but even then, last year, we weren't really out of COVID or lockdown, so quite an interesting one. They've managed to keep their record book order of 17 over 17 billion rand. And then just in the last month alone, Raubex was granted four projects of to the value of between 200 and 300 million rand. And on top of that, they're still waiting for SANRAL to award 138 tenders. Now, that's not saying they're going to get all 138, but they seem to think that they're going to get a decent chunk of this 30 billion rand tender process, and that includes some mega projects. So I think they've really got this going. I think for me, this is really a two-pronged bet, One would be that government awards the tenders and that they actually pay their suppliers. And then two, that Raubex will deliver. So those are kind of the big questions. It's a bit of a risk, considering there's a new CEO in town. She starts on the 1st of
Of
August, but
August,
then
yeah.
I think the risk is mitigated because she's been around for so long.
Yeah.
So actually, yeah, that's fine. And then actually, maybe scrap that, not two or three risks, but four, I would say, because potentially there's also the IPP window five, which is closing
yes.
in September. And I think Raubex will be a beneficiary of that
yes.
as well, or some of it anyway.
Okay, so I mean, with all these, Anthea, would you say then that in that construction sector that's largely suffered, that Raubex is the diamond in that lot?
I think so, yes. Mm. So it's a stock that has really rallied in the last year and a half, probably doubled actually in the last year and a half. So it's a brave bet to make. It's a brave call to make. But I think there's a lot more to go. You know,
all
I think
right.
the stock can give you another 50% in the next year or year and a half.
Brave. Well, the markets are not for the faint-hearted. Thank you very much for that insight, Anthea. That was Anthea Gardner from Cartesian Capital.